just walk around the fellowship and smell people's breath, because we had a garlic dish made by Kim Sapp last night that was killer, literally. Killer for you. Delicious for all of us. If you've never had her chicken scampi and she invites you over, accept the invitation. We had it 2 years ago at a retreat we had for the leadership group, and when somebody does every meal, so we give out every meal, and somebody does desserts, and which, by the way, if you guys stick around after church, no, I can't. What you guys have to do is go back and support the La Paz team and buy their stuff. But if that all runs out, I have some leftover desserts that Amanda and Kevin Wilson brought that I was going to share with you, but I don't want to be competition. Anyway, we asked people to pick a meal and provide it, and Kim and Steve volunteered for something, and I said, can we change that to your dinner and do your chicken scampi, please? So, anyway, I apologize for, I've done my best. I've hit mouthwash 4 times, and it doesn't seem to have an effect. I want to ask you to think about a question that we were given prior to the retreat for each of us to think about. We were told that based on the things we're going to be discussing, one of the best ways to prepare, we had several questions to consider that were sort of homework. It was this question: what is the most significant need of the people living in our geographic area? So the people that live, my neighbors, my friends, the people that I'm around, what's their most significant need? And, something immediately came to my mind. It's actually not what I ended up contributing that day when we discussed it, because we could only think of one. We were only allowed to offer one. But the first thing that came to my mind was, whether they know it or not, I think my neighbors need to personally experience what it means to be a part of a true spiritual family. One that is striving to love others the way Christ loved them. Or put another way, to be a part of a church that actually practices what they preach about love. See, love's not a theory. It's not like, hey, here's something to consider. We're commanded. If you've made Jesus your Lord, you've been commanded to love others the way he has loved you. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today. I often think about the people that I encounter in my day-to-day life that consider themselves Christians but are not a part of a church. And I've been asked by people, do you think you can be a Christian and not be a part of a church? I said, yeah, but not for long. Or certainly, at the very least, you will not ever get to experience the reason God called you into a relationship with him. Yeah, we started these songs off. One of the things that came up was the whole idea of needing to have this vertical relationship before we can have this horizontal relationship. And all the songs this morning, they're all about that vertical relationship with God. They're all about, I need thee every hour, and just this connection that we need to make with him, and that's imperative. But can you be a Christian without a part of a family? I know I'm talking to the preaching the choir here, but I want you to think about this. Because a lot of you actually worship alone, even though you're part of a group that's meeting here on Sunday mornings. And when I was a kid, I don't know if the first person who knows what I'm doing, shout it out. Okay, I'll do it in slow motion. But we used to do this all the time as kids. My friends, we all did it. Everybody I knew did it. So I'm gonna see if we can, I'm going to get out here so you can tell exactly what I'm doing. And the winner gets the dessert store in the back of my car. What am I doing with football? Who said football? Jim? You're the quarterback. And you put the hand, you're just doing this in the mirror most times, or somewhere where you think you're the quarterback of some team, and then you holler it out, blue 47, blue 47. And you got this whole thing, and you take the snap, and you drop back, and you're looking this way, and you hit the... It's thrilling for a young boy. Thrilling. And as much as I enjoyed doing that by myself, I actually never played football by myself. Can you imagine? Yeah, David, you got the idea, right? If the ceiling was a little bit higher and I take a ball and I chuck it as high as I can, I run under it, I might do that for maybe a couple minutes. But I wouldn't do it for long. So I think you can be a Christian for a little while. But boy, when you miss out on what God intended church to be, you're not going to be that thrilled for very long. I thought to myself, who wouldn't want to be a part of a church or a spiritual family or a group or a community? And we're all part of groups, right? Or communities. I had a group of football buddies. And I actually laid them on this standard I'm about to give you. I'll just tell you real quickly. So I played all different types of sports, but when I got older, the only thing I really played was football. And we used to play every Sunday when we were in Boston. And I started out, I was 31 when I moved to Boston. And we played every Sunday. We'd play against different teams, and we were in a league of sorts. It was kind of a loosely affiliated league, and we get our team, we play there. And for years we did this. And then there was a team we played against that I just liked the way they played. I liked sort of the vibe. One of the guys said, I was playing quarterback, and he could have hammered me this one play. And I said, hey, I appreciate you not wailing on me there. And he said, I know that we got to be at work tomorrow morning. This is not our job. And I thought, that's the kind of spirit of guys I want to play with. Guys that aren't trying to make the NFL or be discovered by some, we just want to come out here and enjoy something we all share in common. And interestingly enough, we talked to each other. I talked to the guy that headed up their team. I said, listen, let's play together next week. He said, well, we got another game planned, but I really like playing with you guys too. We then played together for 15 straight years, every Sunday, 9 months a year. You know why? It was a blessed community. It was just this community of guys that loved this experience we had on Sundays. And I've been gone now for 13 years, and I still talk to the guys. They'll call me, oh, Jim. One time they had Ricky Williams. If you're any of you old enough to remember Ricky Williams, played for the Dolphins and a couple other teams. But Ricky Williams came out and played that one day. And he's like, Jim, I threw a touchdown to Ricky Williams. It's like we're still 14 years old. But it's because we had this connection. I look at Jeff and Lynn Scroggin. The first day I walked into the Lenox Church of Christ in 1983, Jeff and Lynn Scroggin were there. And it's like what Blake talked about with Steve. It's like, man, that connection to last all these years. And wow, it's so rich. And I just want to come back every Sunday and be with Jeff and Lynn. I just love it. And so whether you think, want to fill in the blank, church or community or group, because I want you to think, because you're a part of like a Twitter community or a Facebook community or an Instagram community, and I would like just for you to imagine your community, whatever it is, looking like this. Because I think the only thing that looks like this from start to finish or has the potential to look like this is church. Oh, there's Jeff and Lynn. I couldn't find you. You're not in your normal seats. It looks like the Harpoles took your seats. Hey, Harpoles, get out. We have our ways, don't we? But who wouldn't want to be a part of a community where people love getting together to simply encourage each other and spur one another on toward love and good deeds? Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a community where people are sincerely devoted to one another? Where they look for ways to honor each other? Where they share whatever they have with people in need? Where they open up their homes to strangers, people they just met on a Sunday morning? Where they share in each other's joys, but also walk with and share with in each other's sorrows? Where they live in harmony with one another? It's just like together, it's just so much better than apart. Where people aren't cliquish, they're not arrogant, they're not haughty, but they form friendships regardless of where you came from. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a community like that? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a community where people routinely had meals together and genuinely seemed to enjoy being together, where people are willing to make sacrifices of their time, not just their money, to help other people, where they're surrounded by people who love God and love His Word? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a community where people are quick and to fully and completely forgive one another and not hold things against each other? You see, even in the community God ordained and God designed, He expected there to be hurts and pains and sin and wrongdoings. But can you imagine being a part of a community where it just gets brought to the surface? We talk about it. We work it out. Yesterday, I'll admit, I told somebody, I said, how'd the retreat go? I said, everything was great for the last hour. Me and my son-in-law sinned against each other. We did. We got angry at each other. I took a swipe at him, and he was frustrated, and he was angry. And you know what happened? As soon as, like, about the first break, which was probably 5 minutes later, we both went right to each other. We worked it out, and literally, if you're new to the church, I'm sorry, we kissed and made up. Even if you're older than the church, that might scare you. That's what a community. I mean, it was gone. It was done. And we rode here. We left at 6:45 this morning. We drove down, and it was like, we're fine. I wanted to check, make sure we're okay. I love that about our community. How would you like to be a community where people just exude a spirit of gratitude? They're just grateful. I think of some people in here. I'm not going to mention names at all today. But I think of some people that I go, how in the world can they be grateful given all they've been through? But they just exude gratitude. Like, I love that. That's not something man makes. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a spiritual family where there's no evidence of political, racial, or economic divide? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a fellowship or a community or a church where no one felt like a stranger, but everyone felt a sense of belonging? Where older men and women were treated with the respect they deserve, not looked down upon. Where younger men and women treat one another like brothers and sisters, where there's no sexual impurity involved. What's this guy up to? Wouldn't that be a blessed community? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a family where actually we're committed to carrying one another's burdens? Where you could talk freely about your struggles, and instead of being judged, people actually prayed for you. Where the community's role model is a man who went so far as to lay down his life for others. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a spiritual family where they're surrounded by people who are humble, gentle, willing to walk with them in love through any difficulty? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a family where people aren't living double lives, where you don't fear to go, I wonder what's really going on inside their house? But they have attractive and inspiring lives. I remember the first time, I wish he was here, he was supposed to be here today, George Hart. Remember the first time I met George, I went over to his house, I was invited to a Bible talk at his house. I'd never met him before, and never been to a Bible talk. I was scared to death of what that meant, but nevertheless. I walked in there and I go, what a life and what a family this guy has. I mean, just in a short period of time, like, and honest to God, this is honest truth. I said, I want to get to know this guy and figure out what makes this guy's family the way it is. Wouldn't that be amazing to be surrounded by a community of people? You go, what are the Rankins doing? What's their secret? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a family where people don't do things out of selfish ambition ever, but in humility value the welfare of others ahead of their own welfare? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a family where people seem genuinely interested in what's going on in each other's lives, where they jump at the opportunity to serve people in need? And when they serve, they don't grumble or complain, but instead they express gratitude for just having the opportunity to serve. Yeah, this is not some utopian dream I've come up with for the ideal church. Well, I never opened my Bible. I just shared with you 16 scriptures. Scriptures that give us directive on the kind of community we are called by God to be. You know, the Apostle Paul says it this way. He said, when you're that kind of a community, you're going to shine like stars in the sky. Have you ever been alone, or not necessarily alone, but on a dark, clear night without clouds? you're out in the country, and you look up. Yeah, what do you see? You see like a couple dozen stars. It's like, whoa, this is incredible. Dozens of stars. And you keep looking, and what happens? You just keep seeing more. The dozens become hundreds. The hundreds become thousands, and you're just filled with awe and amazement. You're going, the longer I look, the more I see. Shining like stars. You know, I have a unique vantage point as a minister. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But the good part of my vantage point is I get to hear a lot of stories of stars that shine in this church. I hear from every angle. I hear from the Drake House. I hear from, the Path. I hear all over the place, all of our partner organizations, Mimosa Elementary. We just hear, like, man, it's like stars. This past Wednesday, I was with a man who is weary from his battle with cancer. Weary. He is worn out. He is tired. And yet, in spite of being so weak and worn out from the physical battle, his eyes started to sparkle at one moment. His eyes were dark, but they started sparkling, and he got all this enthusiasm. Because what he wanted to do is tell me about each individual who had touched him during this battle recently. And he started to have name after name after name after name. And he's telling me all that they did. Just kept listing name after name. And the shocking thing to me about it was who was on that list. I didn't know about any of them. I didn't assign any of them. And one of the most amazing things, they're all really busy people. Like people that normally would pay somebody, go take care of this for me. That could do that. But no, they were taking off work. They were taking time out of the. It's like, no, stars shining bright. He talked about the people that sat with him during chemo, wrote cards, offered words of encouragement, provided meals, cleaned his house, gave rides, supported his wife and children, prayed with them, repaired things around his house, did landscaping work. Stars! I wish I could tell you who's doing the landscaping work. It would shock you. This guy gets dirty. Stars. Stars. I spoke with a family shortly after their car broke down for the last time. It was beyond repair. And they said it couldn't have happened at a worse time financially. It was not the good time for the car to break down. They said that seemingly out of the blue, someone came and offered them their car. They heard their story and offered them their car. They said they could do without it. This family needed it. They didn't. The guy was concerned, though, because he said, I want to give them this car, but it does need some repair work, and I want it to be, like, since it's going to be their car, I want it to be really safe. And given it was our second car, it wasn't that big of a deal, but since it's going to be their car, another family steps up and says, we'll do whatever it takes. Spent nearly $2,000 getting that car, like, perfect. Stars. Stars. 2 weeks ago, a couple approached me and said they felt called by God. They saw this one couple at a distance, this one family at a distance. They said, I want to encourage them somehow. And they said, would you give them this? They gave me a gift in an envelope. And they said, can you give this to them? I don't want them knowing who it is, though. I just want to encourage them. And so I took it to the family, and I said, here, this is from a couple that wants to remain anonymous. They opened it up, and they started crying. And I heard why they're crying, because what they did was they just spent their last dime helping a family member who was in crisis, and they had nothing. They emptied their bank account to help somebody else, and this couple just seemingly out of the blue said, Jim, go provide some encouragement for this family. Wow. Stars. Stars. We, many of us know about this situation, but 2 months ago, there was a mother who lost her daughter. The daughter had briefly attended this church in the past. The mother had no idea where to turn to pull off a memorial service and a luncheon. And there's some people in this church that decide to turn to her. They offered her the love of Christ. And the amazing thing was an avalanche of support came out. I mean, it was dumbfounding to me. So many people came to help the day before and the day of it, which was during the week. And these were working people that said, I'll take the time off. I'll make this happen. I got some flexibility. I'll make it happen. People cooking, people cleaning, people decorating, people that the day of welcoming people. It's like this one person, again, I just picture her welcoming every single grieving person who walked in. There was a little bit of a shocking death. And she's welcome. She's embracing people like stars, stars. There were three women. I went back to where they're going to have the luncheon in the teen room. And there were three women back there with irons. Now, if you know, when we do church events, we use plastic. But these three women said, we want to make it right. We're going to use tablecloths. And there were, I don't know, 12 or 13 tables set up, and they ironed the crease out of every single tablecloth just because they wanted to. Stars. Stars. There was a couple that recently came out to church for the first time, and they were astounded how many people just greeted them. Stars. I have hundreds of stories like this I could tell you. This is the kind of family that Jesus wants people to experience. And you know, he's given each one of us the power to be transformed from being selfish or being ungrateful or being complainers or being whatever to being these kinds of people so that the world will know that you are his disciples. But I want to do something here because it wouldn't be a sermon without a little bit of a challenge. For those of you who, and if there's a word that keeps me up at night, it's this. I've heard people say they feel invisible in our church. That's like me being barefoot and you going, wham! You feel invisible. Because I know my heart coming in, I'm just going to challenge you from my heart. I want to meet every single possible person. I want to encourage every single possible person. I want to touch as many people as possible. I mean, I've probably touched 120 people today, I'm guessing. And maybe it's just brief, and maybe, but we need everybody doing that. Because here's the deal. When I look into the sky that is the Northview Church, at first glance, I see dozens doing it. Dozens. But I don't ever see those dozens turn into hundreds. It's time for the dozens to become hundreds. In other words, it's time for everybody to answer the call. You might be thinking, and I hope I debunk this by now, I don't think I have anything to give. I think you're wrong. I'm about to show a video that I want to close with. And it's a video that hopefully will convict you if you think you have nothing to give. Jesus encountered a woman who came before him and just poured out perfume on his feet. It's like, and there was some criticism going around about what she did. And remember what Jesus said to her? Basically said to them, shut up, which he didn't use those words. Whatever the Hebrew version, He said, she did what she could. I don't want you to be a superstar. That's not what the scriptures call us to be. I want you to be a star. For those of you who think that Jim didn't open his Bible today, I'm going to send out every scripture I use today to you in the bulletin tomorrow, because what I want you to do on Wednesday night is come in convicted. Come in having made decisions. I want to shine like a star. I want to be that for somebody. What can I do? Because here's what's missing. You know who feels invisible in this church? The non-catastrophic situations. See, when somebody's dying of cancer, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? I tell you about a financial need. Extreme situations, we see that very clearly, and we respond, and I love the way we respond. It was my number one thing about the strength of the church. We are responsive to needs. But let me tell you about the number of people in here
that come in and go out and aren't touched, aren't asked, how are you doing? I think of women that, I could think of tons, but I'll just name three. Women who don't have husbands that are here with them for whatever reason. How do you think Jeannie Frederick feels? Now, we got her up here. She doesn't feel this way now, but she lost her husband. He was an elder of this church. She went from this big of a role to somebody sitting in the third row from the back. Is that where you're going to leave her? I think of some of these beautiful women, our classiest women in the church. We always go, you want to meet the finest women alive? Go to Phyllis Rivenwark's Bible Talk on Tuesday night. But, you know, they're there for each other. That's not enough. They need more than each other. They need us. I think of single mothers. You know, so again, I'm not going to name people. I named Phyllis, but not, you know, for the sake of evoking pity. There's some single mother. I actually, every single mother in this church, I went through it before I say about to say this, is awesome. It's like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? But they're doing it alone. They're facing every battle you face alone. There's nobody to talk to. You know that thing I said where we treat younger brothers, that's a scripture, younger brothers and sisters, or younger men and women as brothers and sisters with absolute purity. Let's get our absolute purity down and start getting involved in these women's lives. Women going through divorce. Men going through divorce. Men who are divorced. Women who are divorced. They're doing it alone. They don't need to be alone in church. When is somebody going to say, hey, come sit with me? That very little act, I can tell you, you'd be shining like a star. A star. If you don't think you have enough to give, we'll end with this. Did somebody hit those lights? Let's close out our service. We're going to pray together, okay? And I want to do something different because we have an extra 3 minutes. We're going to end on time. Let's pray. God, I pray that we will be like that young boy who had obviously very little but was willing to share. And after he had shared all that he had, he saw another need. It would have been so easy to say, I'm sorry, I gave it all away already. I love how he ran to that little girl, didn't walk, he ran. He ran to the opportunity. He took her by the arm, he gave her a seat at the table, and he led the way by sharing from his own bowl. God, I pray that we'll have the kind of inspirational leaders like that in our church, people who lead the way, the dozens who are shining brightly, that we'll look to them, even to the examples, the few that I shared today, and it will stir our hearts to take the little bit of rice, a little bit of rice out of our bowl, because we all give a little bit. That little girl that needs it the most will have a full lunch. We love you, God. We're grateful for what you've blessed us with. I pray that we'll be trustworthy with what you've given us, that we too will be able to answer on the day of judgment, everything you gave us, we put to work for you. Father, help us not to be selfish. Help us not to be fearful. Help us to be faithful. You promise that if we give of the first fruits you give to us before we take anything for ourselves, You say that you will throw open the floodgates of heaven and you'll pour down so much on us because you want to minister to those who are hungry. Hungry for fellowship, hungry for love, hungry for affirmation, hungry for inclusion. I pray, God, this will not be utopia for us. This will be reality. God, as we enter into a time of fellowship, I pray that we will give to one another joyfully without grumbling or complaining, in humility, considering others better than ourselves. We love you and pray in Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great afternoon.